mommy blogging has become a phenomenon across North America, really across the world. According to Mashable, there are some 4 million mommy bloggers currently in the world. Mommy blogs, of course, are women writing about their lives, doing what they do best, talking about their kids, talking about what interests them. I have online with me from Toronto, Aviva Rubin, who's just written a really nice piece for the Globe and Mail about the rise of the mommy blogger. She was at a recent conference down in New York City, I guess, where thousands of mommy bloggers converged. Thanks for spending some time with us, Aviva.
No problem. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Are you a mommy blogger?
Well, I am a blogger and I am a mommy, but I don't think that I would define myself exactly as a mommy blogger. I don't actually blog about my life as a parent, although I do write about parenting and the works that I've had, the stuff that I've had published over the last few months has all been about my kids and about parenting. So I don't know. I guess it's hard to know whether I actually fit in the definition of mommy blogger.
Well, and I guess that's the thing. That when we think of mommy bloggers, we're thinking of these few women who have really become phenomenons. There are some that are followed. They have just rabid followings, and they're actually making a pretty good living from it, to the point that marketing companies are focusing on reaching that mommy blogger community as a way of reaching their constituency.
In fact, I would say that retailers are not only focusing on the mommy bloggers that are incredibly successful, although they are focusing on them. They're focusing on a lot of mommy bloggers. And I had a few conversations in writing the article for the Globe and Mail, one of them with a toy company called Spin Master, who does a bunch of really popular games. And also had a conversation with Walmart, who has dedicated staff dedicated to social media. And the woman I spoke to said they're going to be sending out hundreds of backpacks, like back to school backpacks, and also $50 gift cards to, you know, about 300 women that are on their list of mommy bloggers. So these are, you know, they'd want these women to be to comment on their products on their blogs and tell other women who read them, you know, how much it is that they can get for a $50 gift card from Walmart. So, you know, I think that it really goes beyond that top echelon of mommy bloggers that are, you know, managing to kind of live off of their blogs in some way, and expanding out to, you know, to include thousands and, you know, thousands and thousands of women.
Now, I guess the whole phenomenon of mommy bloggers, I'm trying to think why mommy bloggers became the phenomenon that they've become. And I guess part of it is the issue of the lifestyle of a working or of a mother, especially of a stay-at-home mom, who has some time at different unique holes of time that they perhaps used to fill by going to meet at babysitting clubs or speaking with their friends on the phone. They're now turning to the internet and they're blogging, be it on Facebook or they're doing their own blogs. They're turning there to have their basically their communication and sharing with adults. I remember when my kids were little and my partner stayed at home, you know, she always really looked forward to that adult time because she was so tired of kid time. Maybe the mommy blog is kind of filling in that adult time for these mothers.
I think that's true, and I think there's a real coincidence of, and the, you know, the rise of the internet and sort of this platform where you can communicate really easily beyond just your own geographical location, and build communities of like-minded people. I think it really piqued people's interest, and I think that. I don't think anyone who started off in the sort of mommy blogging world, you know, 9 or 10 years ago, you know, with the real early adopters had any intention of trying to make themselves a big living off of it. It was just like, wow, I can tell other people, you know, about my experiences. I can talk about what's going on with my kids, what's frustrating me, what's really hard, what's really upsetting, what's really great. And I think that it just sort of grew from there. And now we have that ability. And it costs us really nothing to do it, to set up a blog and just start talking to people. And I think a lot of people started out just talking, wanting to communicate with their own friends and family. Like, oh, here, look at pictures of my, you know, Junior doing whatever.
Yeah.
And it grew from there.
Now that brings up the your mention of pictures. That brings up the question of privacy and what's appropriate communication with these. And one of the things that I wonder about is, especially as I watch these reality TV shows where people get their families and their children involved in their money-making ventures of reality TV. I'm wondering how the kids are reacting and are going to react as they move ahead of having a what would be an internet famous mommy as their mommy blogger if they're being identified and what it does to their privacy and how the kids react.
I think that's a question that's really being discussed. It was certainly a panel topic at the BlogHer conference last week in New York, because of course most of the mommy bloggers are, I would say the majority of the mommy bloggers are talking about their kids, often putting up pictures of their kids, as well as their families and other stuff. So the question of, is this a problem? When is it something that we need to address? When should we listen to our kids if they're saying to us, I don't want you to be talking about me online anymore? How much of it is sort of us talking about our own lives and telling our own stories, as opposed to trying to tell the kids' stories? And I just read such a beautiful piece. There's a blog that's actually incredibly popular called Her Bad Mother. Yes. She's Canadian. Her name is Catherine, and she's just moved to New York recently to work for the Babbel, which is a website for parents. But she and her piece that she did is called All the Blogs a Stage on Strutting and Fretting Our Virtual Lives. And also Honey Boo Boo. So that's the title. And I people who want to, have this discussion should read her piece because it's really beautiful. She certainly does ask those questions, and questions herself around the information that she's putting out there. But she does conclude that, blogging is still a very different thing than reality TV. You're not pushing your children to perform, you are kind of commenting on their lives and, in some ways their, certain performances that they might, do and, at home and that kind of stuff, but you're not setting it up, mm-hmm. As in the extreme case of Honey Boo Boo, where they're just like loading her up with, whatever, kitty crack and, and letting her do her thing. This is more, women that are telling their own stories. And I think that's really the distinction that she makes, that we're not trying to tell our kids' stories. We're sort of talking about our experiences, and our children are a big part of our life experiences. So I think that said, you obviously have to be cautious, and there's going to be a whole continuum of the kinds of, probably from appropriate to inappropriate things that even bloggers are putting out there about their children and their family lives.
Why do you think we picked this one group of bloggers? Because there's bloggers on every topic under the sun and every demographic and every age group. Why don't we have a senior blogger as a catchphrase, or why has mommy blogger become such a phenomenon? Is it just because we're surprised that women are technically adept enough to produce blogs? I don't understand why,
group. Because I think before the term mommy blogger hit, there were certainly a lot of women blogging. Mm-hmm. There are political bloggers and economic bloggers and, social science bloggers. So, I mean, I also think that there probably are upcoming groups of maybe slightly less senior bloggers, but I think they're coming. My father's 81 and he blogs. He started blogging before I did.
Yeah, we don't hear the term gray blogger.
Sorry?
We don't hear the term gray blogger.
I figure sort of all of this stuff is coming, and as we age, mm-hmm. We will continue to blog, and then we will be part of that demographic. But I think that I think the thing about wanting to tell our stories and about the fact that, I'm sure that many women documented many of their stories through journals in the past, but we don't have access to those as much. And I think that people feel compelled to, as an outlet, partly as a mental outlet, as a mental health outlet, to write about what they're going through in their experiences. And if you look at, most of the top bloggers, the ones that are, that get the most traffic are really talking very much about their personal lives and sharing things that other people, you know, here in this case, other women can relate to. And that's, and that is, I think, incredibly compelling. And I think that, you know, people are isolated in many different ways. They're isolated in terms of their own experiences, whether you're raising children with, you know, with disabilities, or you're, a queer mom living in a small town in Canada or the United States. Like, there are all sorts of reasons to reach out. And I think that blogging gives us that possibility. And I think the first, I think the first goal in the blogging was building community and sharing stories and sharing experiences. And I think from there, it just kind of exploded. There's also on top of that, the current economic sort of situation, that there are pretty difficult times. And then you've got a real incentive to try to get retailers to pay attention to you and let you try, you know, their products for free and comment on them. There's this whole couponing phenomenon women are working really hard in their local communities and nationally to get put out the word on, you know, what Walmart or their local Piggly Wiggly or whatever are, you know, selling cucumbers for today. And supposedly, you know, women who are, you know, the primary shoppers for their families are, you know, taking this information and, you know, cutting down the food and clothing budgets of their families by reading these blogs. So I think that there's all sorts of different things that are, you know, that are going on driving it.
Well, thanks for your time. Aviva Rubin's She's Not a Mommy Blogger blog is at nothinginmoderation.ca. It's not a mommy blog, but it is a pretty darn interesting read at any rate. Thanks for your time, Aviva.
Oh, thank you so much.